Now we're discussing a chapter on Bhava Bhakti. And Bhava and Mahabhava are part of the same thing. But this is Bhava Bhakti, our coming to Bhava Bhakti, because there's sadhana bhakti and there's bhava, but the bhava I was talking about is not the same as this Bhava Bhakti. The bhava of the gopis is Mahabhava, an aspect of prema. This bhava that we're talking about is the Bhava Bhakti experienced by the sadhaka. After Vaidhi Sadhana, and if one Vaidhi Sadhana goes to Bhava Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti goes to Prem, and that Prem goes to Vaikuntha. Raghunuga Sadhana goes to Bhava Bhakti, that Bhava Bhakti goes to Prema, Vraja Prem, and that Prem goes to Vrindavan. There's two paths going to two goals, two types of Bhava, two types of Prema, and two types of Sadhya, or destination. So therefore he's talking about Bhava Bhakti. So it can be for different people. This is the first division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, third wave, or third chapter, part one. I think it's Purva Vibhag, Eastern Division. So this is Bhava Bhakti. So this first verse, Shuddha Sat. Oh, this is actually the definition. That's a good way to start, because we already we mentioned our outline. It starts off, we're talking about Bhava Bhakti. Well, what is it? We talk about sadhana bhakti, we have some understanding of that. So now Bhava Bhakti. So everything has a definition. Has a definition, has characteristics, symptoms, examples, expressions. Shuddha Sapta Visheshatma Prema Sriyamshu Samyabhak Ruchi Bish Chitta Mashrinya Krit Aso Bhava Uchate. That part of bhakti is called bhav, whose essence is samvit and ladini. We mentioned bhakti is a combination of samvit, shakti, and ladini. And she's a devi. She's a female personality, bhakti devi. And there's also sadhana devi. Sadhana is also a female personality. And so, and when we come to the level of bhav, then samvit and ladini come into play. Before that, it's called sadhana. We're practicing and endeavoring to come to bhav, to qualify ourselves and to prepare ourselves to be recipients of the ingress of bhava from the parishads of the Lord or the liberated saintly people in our parampara, or Gaudiya Vaishnava saints who are liberated and existing in the level of prem dham, Vrindavan. They can also bless us with this bhav, this rays of this bhav from their hearts. From the hearts of the parishads, directly one can receive a ray of bhav from Krishna himself, or Radharani, or Lalita, or the Astasakis, Astamandris, or the beloved gurus in this parampara, or even a living siddha saint, siddha mahatma, that may be gracing this planet, can also bless one with bhava. Rather rare way to attain bhava, but this is possible. One attains bhava only by kripa, by mercy. It says, we close the previous chapter by saying one can attain bhava by the mercy of the devotee or Krishna. It's not by sadhana. Just like you don't attain bhakti. You don't even attain the bijam of bhakti. The bijam of bhakti becomes the flower of bhav, and the flower of bhav becomes the fruit of prem, if you want an analogy, since we're talking about cakes and things. So, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So even we get the books, you read all the books, we get a set of mala, we wear some Tulsi neck beads, and we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 69 rounds or 16 rounds every day. But until we get connected with Guru, the bijam doesn't enter the heart. So without the bijam, there's no question of a lata, and there's no question of a leaf or a flower, what to speak of a fruit. That itself, all those activities before meeting Guru, is called bhakti unmukhi sukriti, which increases one's sukriti sufficiently so they can meet Guru and have the qualification to get the seed. So once we have the seed, then we engage in sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana and raganuga sadhana, and that gives us the qualification to get the flower. The flower is bhava. Then we have bhava that without doing very much, because flowers pretty soon turn into fruits, but it takes a long time for the flower to come. But once the flower is there, the fruit is around the corner. So when the flower comes, then the fruit of prema is around the corner. Not much effort. And almost like they go hand in hand. We were in Parikva this morning in Manasi Ganga, and Yogamaya is there, and there's a Govardhan Shila there, which Yogamaya manifested from that Govardhan Shila and gave her darshan to Mother Yashoda, and she was standing there in that area or somehow, and thinking in her mind that, oh, I want a lala, I want a son, and now I'm 70. She was 79 years old, and Nanda Maharaj was 89 years old, very old, and no children. And everyone in Braj was distressed that our king, our Brajaraj Nanda, and our Brajeshri Yashoda, they have no issue. And they were sad, and all the Brajvasis were sad. And so she was praying to Gopi, to Kameshwar, Shiva, and to different personalities, because this is Nara Leela, human pastimes. So somehow from her mind, and then while she was from Giriraj, right, it was a Govardhan Shila right next to Mother Yashoda, and while she was thinking like that, from her that from the Govardhan Shila, this is the only. There are different places in India, holy places called Shakti Pit, where Yogamaya, well, usually Mahamaya or Durga, has manifested, self-manifested, Prakat deities of Yogamaya or Durga. But none of them have manifested from a Govardhan Shila. So this Govardhan Shila, she was thinking, oh, please, oh, Bhagavan, or she's praying. Somehow, then Yogamaya appeared right from coming out of the Shila and said, oh, don't worry, very soon I give you my blessings. I am Yogamaya Devi. I give you my blessings. Very soon you will attain a son, beautiful son, unbelievable son. And you'll become so famous. And so that form of Yogamaya that blessed Yashoda is called Manasi Devi, because she came, because this is Manasi Ganga, which appeared, the Ganga appeared from the mind of Krishna. And right next to it is this Govardhan Shila, which is the Prakat Stali, the manifestation place for Manasi Devi Yogamaya. So we were visiting there after taking a ritual bath, you could say, honorary bath, in Manasi Ganga, which is part of the Parikrama Niyam of Govardhan, and taking Manasi Devi's blessings and Hari Dev's darshan. Why we were there, because the real thing, as they say, whenever you go to a holy place, if you go there and you just bathe there and shave your head and give Brahman Dan and Tirtha Snan and Takraji Darshan and Prikma, etc., these are all very good things and very pious and Sukriti good things. But if you don't meet saintly people there, if you don't meet any of the saints that live there and hear from them and get blessings from them, then your Tirtha Yatra is Nishfal. Tirtha Yatra Nishfal, which means your yatra to the holy place is not really attained the proper or intended fruit of your yatra. When you meet the resonance of a holy place, then you get not Sukriti, but you get bhakti. If you meet bhaktas. And you get bhava and prema and ashirvad. Ashirvad to get prema. And otherwise you get otherwise every going on Tirtha Yatra and shaving your head and giving Brahmadan is all very good things and should be done, because that gives you Sukriti to meet a resident of the Dham in some future life or this life or whatever. So therefore, the conclusion is the most valuable asset in any holy Dham is not the big, big famous temple, not the big, big famous Prachin Mandir, old Mandir, and old original deities, 5,000 years old, installed by Bajranab. Acha, they're very powerful and very necessary to see. But the real asset of any holy Dham is the bhaktas, the Dhamvasis. And if you're a jnani or a yogi and you go to Varanasi, then you meet the Varanasi Vasis, those jnanis and yogis that live there life after life, and they're worshippers of Shankar and Shiva and then you associate with them, then you get so much nourishment and bhav for your pursuit of gyan or yoga. So when you come to Brajadham, if you meet the Brijvasis and hear from them and see them engaged in their worship and bhajan and puja, then, and if they're favorable towards you and glance at you, they can glance, because we read in the, what do we just read recently in Nectar Devotion? Well, it's in this chapter. One can attain bhava by, is called Vachikadan, Alokadan, and Hardadan. Dan means, Vachikadan means words, by the gift of words. If Krishna says, I bless you to attain Krishna Prem, or a Premi Bhakta, I bless you, that's by Vachika, that charity. You can get Prem by the good, the words, I bless you. That's called Vachikadan. That's a way to attain Bhav. You can get Bhav by Alokadan. Alok means darshan, to see, a glance. A Bhava Bhakta, Premi Bhakta, can glance at you, and you can get Bhav. Of course, these are all very rare, to meet a Bhava Bhakta, Premi Bhakta, and to elicit from their heart, to elicit or bring out from their heart or mind an interest in you. That's the first thing. They're interested in you. And secondly, that they're desirous of giving you some of the wealth they have in their heart. They may look at you, but not Alokadan. They may speak to you, but not Vachikadan. And the third way to attain Bhava is called Harda. Hardadhan. Hardadhan means heartfelt wishes. They meet you meet some great premier Bhava Bhakta of Braj. And they glance at you, not consciously thinking, I want to glance at this person and give them bhav. So they don't glance at you with that intended glance. And then they don't speak to you. I bless you, you little knucklehead. I bless you, little American jerk, that you'll get Krishna Prem. So they don't give you those words. But after you leave, maybe you left some impression on them by your behavior, your attitude, your charity, maybe donation, whatever, somehow you impress them to such an extent that they start thinking deeply about you. Harda dhan. I think that person was very special. And they asked someone, you know, someone came, I met someone, he was like Videshi, and then you know, he looked like this and that. Oh yeah, I think that's so-and-so. I think he lives in Radhakund. Acha. Then they said, oh, he's very nice. And they start thinking. So that's called Hardadan. To give a concrete example, because this is all related to the chapter, which is so interesting and so beautiful. This is about Bhava Bhakti. So this would be like a one-month introduction to Bhava Bhakti. Because, you know, what's the hurry to discuss Bhava Bhakti? Anybody's about to experience ecstatic symptoms. I had to really discuss this chapter all today, right? All about Bhava Bhakti. Because tomorrow, you're all on the threshold of rolling on the ground and crying, Radhe, Radhe. No, I think we have a long time to discuss Bhava Bhakti. Matter of fact, I think we should go back and talk about Vaidhi Sadhana and review Vaidhi Sadhana and try to get to the level of Nishtha. And then once we're in Nishtha, we can discuss how to attain Ruchi. And when we come to Ruchi, then we can start talking about Raganuga Bhakti Sadhana at Ruchi. Because right now, at least for me, let's say, I don't know about you, but I'm on a level, trying to enter the level of Anartha Nivritti, which means Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So everything we're discussing, at least in this regard, is theoretical. But first there's theory, then there's practice, then there's realization. If there's no theory, there can't be any practice. If there's no gyan, then there's no practice. And without gyan and practice, there's no vigyan, yes? So we came out of the Manasi Devi temple. So what you're experiencing right now in my delivery is two aspects of Krishna consciousness. Lila Vichar and Tattva Vichar. You see what I'm doing? I told Tattva about different ways to receive bhav. Yes? Yes. And it's all in the context of particular... It's not Leela. I can't say my life is a Leela. It's just because Leela is for the Lord. Leela Purushottam Sri Krishna. But then citing an anecdote or experience, an encounter. We say encounter, citing an encounter or experience that we had. We're trying to illustrate the possibilities of the principle which we're discussing. Because I know this, I let's say I have the gyan on this subject, and I'm trying to take advantage to increase my opportunities to experience it. Because I'm living with pure devotees. I'm living amongst Premi Bhaktas. I'm living amongst Bhava Bhaktas. And a lot of them are very disguised, because we have a phrase in English, you cannot tell a book by its cover. So we think Premi Bhakta means, you know, white vesh and big neck beads and, you know, and tilak everywhere, all over the place, and whatever. But, you know, some housewife with a little plastic handbag with little dibbas of kunkum and rice. Premi Bhakta? Oh, this is some housewife with six kids and this and that. We can't... misunderstanding of the environment and the people in it. They have no tilak. This housewife has no tilak. No neck beads. Usually they have neck beads, but maybe no neck beads. Did the gopis in Vrindavan wear neck beads? No. Did the gopis in Vrindavan have japa beads? No. Did the gopis in Vrindavan wear tilak? Sort of. They wear the married lady's bindi, which is a mark, an auspicious mark on the forehead, Vedic symbol of a married woman. But they didn't have tilak to indicate that I'm a devotee of Krishna. I'm a Vishnu Bhakta. See my Urdhva Pandra? They didn't have Urdhva Pandra tilak, nor did they have Shaivite tilak. One thing I've come to understand that another thing, prema hides itself. Prema is not a consumer commodity. Prema is not available in the marketplace of saleable objects. This is a consumerism world. You can't type in prema.com and download, you know, and have mail order prema at your door. Overnight delivery, UPS. It's a very secret, hidden thing. And it's in, this is prema, what is this called? Prema Dham Vrindavan Ki? Jai. That means this Dham, Prema Dham Vrindavan, is full of Premi Bhaktas. They're everywhere, in every form, even in non-human forms. The trees are Premi Bhaktas. The birds are Premi Bhaktas. The land, the trees, the frogs. They're in non-human forms, devotees, trees, latas. Can we see it? Can we feel it? Can we hear it? Do they speak to us? Do they teach us? Do they embrace us? Do they bless us? Have the dogs blessed us? Have the trees blessed us? Have the flowers blessed us? Because what I'm saying is the fact. And all the acharyas and mahajans say the same thing. And all the shastras say the same thing. Dham tattva. Very esoteric, very esoteric. A blade of grass is a lover of Krishna. A dog of Vrindavan loves Krishna. Seeing Manasi Devi, Darshan Manasi Devi, and praying for her mercy and this and that. Then we came out of the temple and we were somewhat astonished by the sight we saw. Because usually all ladies or whatever, they do puja inside the temple near the deity. And they were outside just on the entrance between Brahmakund and Manasi Devi Mandir. And there were seven elderly married Brahmanis, and one who knows what's what, they can tell who's who by the color of their skin and their particular activities, what caste they're in. So they're doing puja and chanting mantras, and rather they're more looking better, fair skin and nicer, very physically look better than other lower castes. This is generally true everywhere. Higher caste people are more attractive and this and that, characteristics. And there were seven married matrons there, and then there was one girl there, about 18, 20, who was joining these elderly ladies, maybe her mother also, in this puja in front of the temple. And I just came out, and I was just on my way, turned left to go to Haridev, and I looked, and I thought, well, like, it looks like the Astasakis. Because the Astasakis, the Sakis, used to worship Yogamaya, they used to worship Katyayani, they worship Suryadev. And I said, how many are there? And I, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There was 8 of them. And I said, what are they doing? You know, just like who, what, when, where, why type thing. And they were making some rangoli, and they're doing some. Well, first they were just laughing. They had all this. They each one had a tiffin with Manasi Ganga water, and they had flowers and chandan. Each one had their individual puja paraphernalia, and they ate in a circle like a mandala. Very attractive, somehow very attractive to me. And I looked. I said, "What are they doing?" And when I paused there, they were all kind of laughing and talking and joking, like a little, maybe, I don't know, the language was Brajbhasha, and I asked some friends I didn't know. Maybe they're joking or joking about Krishna, but they were doing some puja, and they stopped, and someone said something, and ha, 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 and they just laughed. Then the other one said, "Hey, come on, let's do this puja," or something. Then they go back, da, da, do da, da, like, and do all this puja, and flowers in the water, and then here, and this and that, and all these things. So I was admiring and saying, wow, you know, because this is what I just felt. There's so much devotion here, and we sing these songs. Jaya Dvija Patni Jaya Naga Kanya Gan. You ever hear the song Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan? You've heard this song. Yeah, one line of the song is Jaya Dvija Patni Jaya Jaya whatever it is. You know, Naga Kanya Gan. So all glories to the Dvija Patnis. So this song was written by Siddha Krishnadas, although it says, you know, whatever it says in it, but some funny thing at the end of it. But it's written by Siddha Krishnadas in Govardhan, and it's in his Gutika, and it's one of his Sadhana Lahir Amrita, one of these books he has about sadhana. So that song is there, written by Siddha Krishnadas from Govardhan. And he's saying, he's wrote this song, 1890, he wrote this song about 100 years ago, right? 1890. It's not 500 years ago. It's 1890s. And he lived at Govardhan. He's saying, Jaya Dvija Patni Jaya. Jaya Naga Kanyagan. So he's saying, Dvija Patni. It's Dvija Patni, right? That's the song. So he's saying, all glories to Dvija Patnis. Dvija Patni means all glories to the wives of the Brahmanas. So this can refer to the Yajna Patnis of the Krishna book. Yes? But he's not saying the Yajna Patnis. He says Dvija Patni. Yes? So that means any wife of any Brahman is a Dvija Patni in Vrindavan. Because he's saying all, and of course, all these personalities. So in other words, in the song, he's glorifying the different personalities. He's glorifying Brajadam and the Rasastalis and Keshigat and all these places. So the point is that everybody, Brijbasis, are worshipable. Avradya Bhagavan Brajeshatanyo Sridam Vrindavanam. Vrindavan is worshipable. It's Chitvastu. Prabhupada says we worship the Nam, Rup, Gun, Leela, and Dham of Krishna. They're all equal. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So all the resonants are worshipable, and they're special, especially their devotees. Knowing, so that's some gyan we have collected. So now, how do we implement it? So then we implement it by showing the greatest regard and appreciation, love and attraction and attention and concern for the Brijvasis in whatever form they're in. And that consequently, when that type of bhav is sitting in the heart or feeling or sentiments, one radiates that. So then he becomes Dira Dira Janapriyo Priyakaro, which is another bhajan we sing. Dira Dira Janapriyo. What does it mean to become Dira Dira Janapriyo Priyo? Everyone knows what that is? That's a line from the Sixth Goswami Astakam. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Primam Ritambo Nidhi Dhira Dhira Janapriyo Priyakaro Nirmatsaro Pujito Sri Chaitanya Kripa Baro Bhuvi Bhuvo Bharavahantarako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako Sad Goswami Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro. Priya, dear to the Jana. Priya, the Dira and Adira Jana Priya. I love the Dira means the Brahmins, and the Adira means the Bhangis. The gentle, the ruffians, the bungis, the sudras, the banyas, the Brahmins. Dira Adira Jana Priya. Nirmatsaro Kuro, whatever. Dira Dira Jano Priyo Nirmatsanano Kuro. If one's heart is near Matsarya, Matsari in Sanskrit means envious. Near means not. If there's no envy in one's heart, then he can be Priya. Then he can be beloved and dear to the. He can be a beloved. He can love and appreciate the dear and adira. Dira, adira, jana, priya, nirmatsarana. So when one has this type of sentiment in his heart, he radiates that sentiment. Then what happens is he moves in any particular environment, let's say, for example, Vrindavan, then the different members of that social environment, different castes, etc., they can perceive that this is a non-envious jiva. And then they respond accordingly. When we go on a morning walk around Radhakund, the guy is going like this. When he sees me, Jai Radhe Maharaj. And the guy going like this in the gutter sweeping a stool is called a bungi. It's considered a lower caste. Then I go a little further, the guy running the tea stall. He's a Brahmin. He's selling the tea. Maharaj, Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe Radhe. So from the bungis to the Brahmins in this particular village of Radhakund in general, they have Adhar for this worthless servant of Srila Prabhupada. Adhar means respect. And I respect them. I give them prasad, or even if I don't give them anything, I give them respect. I give them my respect. I give them my honor. I give them my respect. I give them my whatever love I have and appreciation, and they feel it. So that, taking this point, now going to this back to the story of the Yajnaputnis. I mean, the Dvijaputnis. I was just appreciating this is like the gopis and how much dedication and the pure laughter they're experiencing and the joy, and then back to their puja. And then when I was looking at it, and then a couple of ladies, they turned and they looked at me. And I smiled. And I just smiled. A very sweet and non-envious smile. And then the pujari, which I didn't know, Govind Sharma. And he speaks English, too, surprisingly enough. To me, because I never hear anybody around here speaking. And he was speaking, and all of a sudden here's somebody from the environment speaking English. Like, what? Where? What? Like an Akashvani or something. Because around here, no one speaks English, basically. So when he was first, because he knows that I don't know Hindi, obviously, because we met him a few times. So he was standing behind me, and he was observing me. He was observing me, looking, observing me and my feelings, and I was looking at them and feeling so much, you know, respect and love for these people, Brijvasis. And he said, what I understood is that he was saying that they're very fortunate. That they, these Braja Gopis and wives of the Brahmins are very fortunate, they're Radha and Krishna devotees. And because you're showing interest, you're showing respect for them, you're getting Sukriti by that. And because you're accumulating Sukriti, you will be born in Vrindavan. You'll be fortunate to be born in Vrindavan. That's because I understand what he said about Sukriti and fortune. I took it that because in my view, they're already fortunate. They're already born in Vrindavan, and how does he know if they're not pure devotees of the Lord? So I couldn't think that he would speak to them as if, oh yeah, you'll be good girls, you'll be born in Vrindavan. You know, like he's looking down at them or something. He's a Brahmin, they're also Brahmin. I took it like, they look how fortunate they're on, you know, Brahmakund's behind them, Haridev is on the right hand side is Haridev, behind them is Brahmakund, on the left hand side is Manasi Ganga, in front of them is Manasi Devi. they're sitting like this looking at Manasi Devi. Here is Haridev, behind them is Brahmakund. There's two Brahmakunds, one in Vrindavan. And on the left hand side is Manasi Ganga. And they're facing east, they're facing Surya, the rising sun. And they're doing puja to go in Manasi Devi. There's Yogamaya, is Giriraj. That's Sukriti, so they can get born, get good bank balance, and be born in Vrindavan. I understood that they're born in Vrindavan this life, and they're just doing puja and giving mercy to anybody who can receive it, and they're going back to Boma Vrindavan or Goloka Vrindavan in their next life. Like Gopa Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he was living in this Vrindavan, not in Boma Vrindavan, in this Vrindavan. And didn't see Krishna. And then he went to that Vrindavan and he realized this Vrindavan is the same, you see? So I was seeing that they're in, this is for them, this is Mama Vrindavan because the Leela is Prakat for them. And then from here they'll go, this is their Mama Vrindavan, from here they'll go to the Leela. And because I was appreciating them, I'm the one that needs the Sukriti, not them, right? And then I need to increase my Sukriti, Bhakti Sukriti bank balance, and when it gets sufficiently, you know, good, then I'll take birth in Vrindavan, back to square one, right? Because supposedly my last life I was born in Mathura, and then this life I was born in America, so I went to the penalty box, and then I had to pay my dues. Now, okay, back again, back to square one. We went in there, and this particular, they're rotating pujaris. They take different turns. There's different families who do the puja. So this Brahmin, Suresh Chandra, Brijvasi, he's in, this is his seva turn through Kartik. And we have some nice rapport and nice exchanges with this particular one. Very warm, and he's very, and he enlivens us, and we enliven him also, actually, isn't it? He was just dressing, and we were chanting Radhe Radhe, and all of a sudden he turned around, he stopped dressing, he started preaching to me. We spent an hour there. We were on Prickman, we stayed an hour. While we were there, we were absorbed, we were all chanting Radhe Radhe. Then these same eight gopis came from Manasi. First they worshiped Yogamaya, Shakti Devi, Yogamaya. Then they came for Haridev's darshan. And exactly what the gopis do, exactly the same thing. They worship the Devi, then they go to Haridev. And, you know, they were worshiping Haridev also 5,000 years ago. So then they came in and they did some puja. Now we're just chanting Radhe's name to please for the pleasure of Haridev, because Haridev loves Radharani's name and Radharani loves Krishna's name. So now we're in front of Haridev. So we say, Krishna, Krishna. Yeah, forget it. So it's Radhe, Radhe. So he came in and then he looked at me and said, oh, this is that guy again. And I looked at them and said, oh, this is these, you know, Brijvasi Brahmanis again. So now, like, some of them, when they did their little pollution, they turned, and then they had really big smiles, really big smiles. Like, the most blissful, beautiful, sweet, innocent, loving smiles I've seen in my whole life. Very touching. So when I think of Alokadhan, and Hardadhan, and Vachikadhan, I think, well, maybe this time. And if not, you know, let me keep trying to act and speak and move in such a way that somehow, somewhere in the future, someone will bless me with a drop of Braja Prem. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Ki Jai. So on that note, I think I'll close today's discussion of Bhava Bhakti. Rupa Goswami Pada Ki Jai.